coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to the Behind the News podcast, our second podcast that we're doing where we go over the news and behind the headlines from Clinch, Atkinson, Lanier, and Eccles County. I'm Lynn Robbins. I'm the publisher of the Clinch County News, the Atkinson County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen, and we've got a nice little podcast for you today. One thing we're going to do is talk about high school basketball. They are having the Final Four in Valdosta this weekend on Saturday, and Clinch County Pantherettes have advanced to the Final Four. So we're going to talk to Coach Tanya O'Berry about that in just a little bit. We'll also talk about soccer. Soccer season is has started. It's one of the spring sports, and Lanier County has started up a new program over there, and them along with Eccles County and Atkinson County are in action in soccer as well as other sports, and we'll talk about that a little bit. In Clinch County, they've had some movement with their school system as they have a new principal and a new administrator there that have been promoted, and the police chief has resigned. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about in Atkinson County, they are moving to have the probate court and the magistrate court combined, but they've run into a little issue with that's connected to the District 176 runoff. So we'll talk about that as well. And also talk about the guides to Atkinson County and Clinch County, which are both out this week in the Atkinson County Citizen and the Clinch County News. So pick up a copy of those papers and get your guide, and we'll talk about that as well. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'll have more right after this word from one of our sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Hello and welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins. I'm joined by Tanya O'Berry, the coach of the Clinch County Pantherettes, who have advanced to the Final Four, the semifinals. First time the Pantherettes have made that since 1993. They defeated Greenville up in Greenville on Wednesday night, 69-60. They'll be playing Marion County, who won last night, defeated Wheeler County to get to the semifinals in Valdosta at VSU's complex at 2 o'clock on Saturday in the semifinals. Coach O'Berry, first of all, congratulations. Secondly, when did you see this coming? Or did you not until recently?
I've been waiting on this since these children were in sixth grade. Yeah. I coached them in middle school. Angel and Zai, who are currently sophomores, were on that championship team along with Shenotica Wesley, Nyla West, and Sanaa Small. Mm-hmm. And I realized at that point, I was like, this group should be able to do whatever they want to do, and I can't wait till they make it to the high school.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that group you coached, and then you came to be the varsity coach, and they were still in middle school, right, in eighth grade. And then last year, we didn't make the playoffs, won 11 games. But this year made a run, especially at the end. I think the turning point was when we beat – Telfair in the last regular season game, and I at that point I went, these girls, if they play their game, they can beat about anybody.
I agree. We hit a rough patch. I think that happens anytime when you have girls. Mm-hmm. I know it happens with boys, but sometimes, you know, we were tired. It is difficult. I want our football team to win, but each year we find ourselves in a predicament where we are playing 3 and 4 games mm-hmm. a week, and we played 11 games in 21 days, and that's tough. I don't know how the girls made it, and at one point I was like, oh my goodness, we're in trouble. And like you said, when we came out against Telfair, they embarrassed us mm-hmm. in Telfair. But now Angel went out at halftime, was having back spasms, mm-hmm. really bad back spasms. We were having issues. She left, and I think they wound up beating us by almost 35, 40 points.
Well, what y'all went up to Greenville. Greenville's the defending state champ, number one seed. We're seated 8th. They're yes. seated 1st. They're playing at home in their place. You know, what did you tell your team and how'd you feel about it coming into that game?
Well, the main thing I said was it's a 4-hour trip mm-hmm. home. We don't want to ride home with an L. It will be a 10-hour trip if you ride home with an L, and you'll still be riding the same amount of time. And that's what I told them. And I also reminded them, we played them in December the 29th mm-hmm. in a Ashburn at a tournament. They beat us by 3 points. Mm-hmm. That was our 5th game. That was their 12th game. And I pointed out to the girls, I was like, you know, we were rough. I said, technically, it was our 3rd regular season game. We'd played 2 in a tournament over in Bacon County, and we just turned it on. I mean, I just said, you know, especially whenever you show them headlines that say we were nipped or we were this mm-hmm. or we were that, the headlines bother them. They feed off headlines.
Really?
So, yes.
I got to be careful then.
No, you got to help me. If we lose by 3 points, we need to be crushed.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll work on that. I wish you told me that earlier in the season.
Yes.
It could have helped out. But in that game, Greenville, I think it was tied at the end of the first quarter, 12-12. But then after that, y'all built a lead. And pretty much, I think at the end, they made a run, got it down to 4, and then y'all built it up. But y'all were ahead by 14 at one point.
Right? Yes. I think what happened, and I was aware, but I wasn't aware, those girls were gassed. They had a really great season, but most of their scores, when you look at their schedule, they beat people by 35, 45 points. So that means your first string winds up sitting on the bench a lot of the time. Well, my poor little 6 or 7 head wind up playing the entire game on a regular basis, and basically we ran them to death.
Yeah.
They were whipped.
Well, let's look at the team you have. You're very young, have 3 sophomores at start, and Angel McRae, yep. and Zaya Johnson, and Kara Kite, right?
Yes.
And then 2 juniors in Shenotica Wesley and Sanaya Small.
Yes.
And then coming off the bench, you have another junior, Nyla West,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And also Beyonce, who's the only senior, and some other players. But, you know, last year, y'all played a lot of these people as freshmen. Do you think that has made a big difference? And also, the thing I've noticed is some of these folks like Sanaya Small and Kara Kite and Shenotica and Nyla, knowing their roles and doing them well has made a big difference down the stretch.
I agree. I did. I started Zai and I started Angel and Kara as freshmen mm-hmm. last year, and they played a great deal. I pretty much ran them to death last year. At the end of the day, I don't care how much talent you have or how well you play, it's not until you actually play in at the next level and on a regular basis does it kind of get you ready. But I do think one of the key factors this year has been Sanaya Small returning to us from over somewhere at Albany. I can't remember which school she was at, but I think she has been a catalyst this season. But definitely us playing those girls last year as much as I did has made a huge difference.
She had Small had 18 points in that game.
She actually had 20 points.
Really?
Yeah.
We got
yeah,
that
she
wrong.
Informed me you missed one. I said, okay, it's 2 points, child. We'll survive. She and Angel both had double-doubles. Angel had 14 rebounds, and Sanaya had 13 rebounds. But Sanaya's shooting was 67%. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like somebody was saying, like Michael Jordan, every time she threw the ball up, the ring just got bigger.
Yeah. Yes.
She could not miss. Thank you, Jesus. She could not miss.
So let's talk about Marion County and get people hyped up for this game, because it's basically a home game for us. Marion County's having to drive from Buena Vista, which is, 2.5-3 hours. We went and played football there during football season. We'll be playing at 2:00. Tell me about this Marion County team whose only loss came to the team you just beat, Greenville.
Yes, I got video, and I've been looking at some video, and what I see, what I know about them is they made it to, they made it pretty deep last year. I can't remember how far they made it. Primarily, they, the catalyst on their team are twin girls. I don't know what it is about twin girls and us playing. We had the Leslie twins last time, and now we have these two girls this time. But these girls are 6'1". I watched them. I watched some video recently. A very nice man from Brookstone who wanted to help us out has sent video, and it's feeling really hard. It's amazing, those people in that. Of course, I have to admit, I beat Greenville one night, and the next morning by 9 o'clock, I was sending an email asking for video. So they just ignored me. I can understand, but it's been really hard to get video from folks around there. But just watching it, those girls are solid. But you know, they're they seem to have a pretty good offense. They run a pretty decent defense, but. I got money on my girls. I just, you know, they're young, and I think those twins are sisters, and I think they're seniors. I mean, they're seniors, not sisters. Obviously, they're sisters, but they're seniors, and that team has a little of experience on us, but these girls have been playing together since sixth grade. They've won 3 middle school championships, so they've used to kind of playing in front of a huge, loud crowd. Now, what's going to happen when we get in the PE complex? I'm curious to see. I'm carrying my earplugs like I had at the Wilcox game.
Well, that so that's 2 o'clock, and then if you, the admission is $15, but like I'm planning on going there and watching our game, and then I think after ours, our game, the boys play Calhoun and Wilkinson County. And I think later that night, Irwin County, the boys have also made it, and the girls, Telfair girls, are also in the Final Four, and that's who, if we should win, we will play the winner of Telfair and Calhoun. And they play at 6 on Saturday. Is that correct? Yeah.
That is correct. And, I, you know, I'm excited. I'm like you. I plan to go and sit for a while, but it's sure going to make sitting a lot easier if we have a W. And, you know, these girls, if they put their mind to it and they come out with the intensity, like you said, when we played Telfair at home that game, that team that showed up that night was phenomenal. We had like 2 turnovers in the first half, and I think we blew the doors off Telfair that first half. Now, being a championship type team, they've been in the Final Four several times. They were able to come back, which is what we may see with Marion. But these girls going down the stretch, if they come out with the level of intensity that they can play with, do like we did in Greenville game and pull out 20 points. We scored 20 points in the second quarter. They scored 11.
Yeah.
We can do the same thing, get a lead, and just not go crazy those last few minutes and have a bunch of turnovers and a lot of fouls and stop the clock. I think we have a good chance.
And stay out of foul trouble, because that almost got us against Greenville.
Yes, we had Angel playing with 3 fouls. We had Sinai playing with 3 or 4.
And Kara's
sitting over there with me on the bench, and I'm like, oh my goodness. But I, you know, these girls, and then Angel came out the last few minutes with her ankle, but we think that's good. I want to give a shout out to Don and Jim, who've been helping me rehab her since and keeping her iced and stuff. So we're ready to rock and roll.
All right, folks, make plans now to go over to the VSU complex on Saturday, 2 p.m., support the Pantherettes as they try to get into the state championship for the first time in 26 years. We're incredibly proud of the people in this community of you, Coach O'Berry, and your assistant Cynthia, and those girls. And good luck on Saturday. We'll be there cheering you on.
Thank you. All gas and no brakes.
I hear you. All right, we'll be back for more after this break and a word from our sponsors. Thank you.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, and welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman, talking about news going on in this South Georgia area. And one story we have in the Lanier County Advocate this week is a soccer preview. It's the first year of soccer at Lanier County, and they played, I think it was Atkinson, in their first big game at home the other day at Rockmore Field, and they lost to Atkinson County. But Atkinson has a very good soccer program and has been playing for a number of years. Also, Eccles County is also has a soccer program. In fact, I think the teams in that region or that area are Eccles, Atkinson, Lanier, and Irwin. And Lanier's coach is Rob Brunell, who's also the head coach basketball and also softball. And he had been a soccer coach in college. So I think the folks in Lanier County are excited about that. We have a preview of their season. It includes a schedule and a bunch of pictures that Keith Newbern wrote the story. So if you get a chance, check that out. And Atkinson County, we're going to have something about them soon in the Atkinson County paper. Is that right?
Yeah, this week I spoke with Coach Layla Taft today. She's the girls' head coach. She's supposed to be getting some information about them and the boys. It's be the first actual big preview we've done on the soccer program there. So look for that in next week's edition.
All right. Also, baseball and tennis are in action. It's still February, but they're both all
full
all
swing.
The spring sports are in action. So we'll have news about that in our papers as well. One other thing that's not in any of our papers, but I wanted to mention it because it sort of refutes something that was in another newspaper. It was reported, and I believe the Suwanee, Florida newspaper, that Coach Jim Dickerson, the recently retired coach from Clinch County, was going to be taking a position at Hamilton County. And I talked to him Tuesday, and that is not the case. He will not be coaching anywhere next season. Coach Dickerson, of course, retired in January after 15 years as the head football coach at Clinch County High School and 30 years in education. And just a ridiculous amount of success, 5 state championships in 15 years and 3 in the last 4 years. And after he retired, he got a bunch of phone calls from folks. And he was interested in being possibly just a defensive coordinator, is what he told me. And obviously, you know, he's going to retire, get that pension, and then he would have a salary on top of that. So financially, it'd be a good thing for him. But he said that he looked at some of the offers and really doesn't know what he wants to do right now in terms of his retirement. So he's going to take a year off and think about it and see what comes up. But he will not be coaching at Hamilton County or anywhere else next year.
Can you imagine being whatever head coach he coaches under and the pressure that would be on that guy? One of your assistants is one of the top 5 or 6 winningest coaches in all classifications in the state of Georgia. Now he's your assistant. If that doesn't put a fire under you, nothing else will.
Exactly. Another item that has been in the Atkinson County paper is the consolidation of the probate court and the Atkinson County magistrate court, which they proposed. And Blake, there's been some news on that. You had a story on the front page this week about that, but then there's been some news since then as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct. As you know, they're looking to combine the offices of the probate and the magistrate court judge to save the county around $29,300 annually. So they passed a resolution this past Thursday. They had that public hearing. Didn't have a really good turnout at it. They went ahead and passed the resolution. All the commissioners approved it, signed off on it. In speaking with one of Senator Tyler Harper's aides this week, trying to get some of the notices and whatnot that they have to run in the paper before it can be presented, she informed me that there's not really a hiccup. It's just kind of a little pause, if you will, because before it can be taken before the legislative session, it has to be signed off on by the senator and the House representative. And currently there is no House representative until this runoff election, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And so once that happens, once they have picked whoever between Franklin Patton and James Burchett, who's ever going to take that House seat, then they will have to sign off on it. And once they sign off on it, she assured me they still have time to get it in this legislative session to get it approved. And then that, once that's approved, if it's approved, it'll be on the 2020 general election ballot for whoever decides to run for the position.
And what you're talking about, that District 176 runoff, which is set for March 12th, Franklin Patton and James Burchett, and I believe early voting starts for that in Atkinson County on Monday. Is that correct?
Yes, March. It starts March the 4th, and it'll run through Friday, March the 8th.
Okay. And it started this week in Lanier County at the farmer's market on Monday and is running. They're going to have Saturday voting on that, I believe, this Saturday, and then they'll have it throughout next week as well. So if you're in either of those counties, Atkinson or Lanier, and like we said last week, the District 176 goes northern Lowndes County, Atkinson County, Lanier County, all of Atkinson and Lanier, and then the northern part of Ware County. And I wonder if, okay, let's pretend that March 12th, they elect somebody, which they are going to elect somebody. Yeah, let's not pretend. That's going to happen.
That's a given.
They have to get approved legislation by a certain date for it to be passed. But I guess because it's already been passed by, or the Senate has already introduced it, right?
As far as I know, they have. Yeah, but she told me the legislation runs through April.
Okay.
It's around the first or second week of April. So she said they still have plenty of time once that election takes place to go ahead and get the signature. I mean, you would think it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Once they have both of the signatures, it'll pretty just be a here it is and they'll vote on it kind of deal. But, yeah, that's what they're waiting on, is that House seat to be filled, and then they'll move forward with it.
Okay. One other thing you'll find in the Clinch County and Atkinson County papers this week is our annual guides to each county. There's a guide to Clinch County, which is a magazine, a guide to Atkinson County. It has all kinds of good information that is needed in your household. We keep ours just laying around because it has a lot of information you need, telephone numbers, all kinds of things. And so those come out this week, and that's something, like we said, you need to keep in your house all year long. So go out and grab a Clinch County News or an Atkinson County Citizen and pick up those guides, because it's only once a year they come out in the paper. One other thing I want to go over that was in the Clinch County paper, the Board of Education recently had a meeting, and they promoted Trent Hatton to be the principal at Clinch County High School starting the next fiscal year, which would be starting in July. He takes over for Denise Brown. Denise has been the longtime principal there. Last year, they approved her to be an assistant principal, an assistant superintendent part-time. And so now she's going to be a full-time assistant superintendent. Trent will become a full-time principal. He'd sort of been, grooming him for that. Susan Fortner was named assistant principal last year, so there won't be any other administrators hired. They'll just move into those spots. So people in the community need to be aware of that. The other administrators were the same. Also had a city council meeting that same day, and Winston Peterson, the former longtime sheriff who had been appointed as the city police chief back in November, resigned at that meeting. I talked to Mayor Tom Kennedy about it. He said that, you know, Winston Peterson came in there just to sort of help out to solidify the position, because they had some turnover in the police department. And he told the mayor and the city council that, you know, his job was done. He wanted to go back to being retired. And so now they named Dave Hansen as the interim chief, and they're going to be looking for a permanent chief that could be Dave Hansen. It could be someone else. But they have had a lot of turnover with the police chief there in the past, 4 or 5 years. So hopefully they'll find somebody that they can keep for a while with the city of Homerville. One other thing I wanted to mention, you know, in the newspaper, when we make a mistake, we put a correction in it. So I'm going to put a correction here on the podcast. Last week, we were discussing the Lanier County superintendent. I said that they had fired their superintendent, then hired him back as a transition coordinator. And I said, for a salary of $10,000 a year, the salary is $10,000 a month. I knew that. It was just a slip in the newspaper. We had it correct. Did you have any corrections?
I don't have a correction, but I do have one thing that I want to bring up. I don't even think I've had time to mention this to you yet. But in last week's podcast, we talked about the three missing people from around the counties. Since that podcast has hit, I've had three separate people call me this week and ask me, were there any more updates on the Kyrie Hersey case? So I just want to take the time, you know, to really encourage the listeners and the readers throughout the area. If you know of anything, if you hear of anything that might potentially turn into a lead to finding why these guys went missing or what caused them to go missing or just anything, if you think it's important, don't sit back on it and convince yourself that it's not or that you'll be bugging the police department or the GBI. Call your local law enforcement and just report it, because if you don't say anything, then they don't have anything to go on. And just the fact alone that those three people called and asked about it, you know, lets me know that people still care about it and these families really need closure. So I just want to encourage you all, if you know of anything, if you've heard of anything, if you think you know of anything, call your local law enforcement agency and report that to them so they can kind of get the ball or keep the ball rolling on these things so they can get answers and closure for these families.
Amen. And also, I think we're working on the Clinch County News on a story, a follow-up story about Jake Connor, which I hope to have in the next couple of weeks. One last thing I want to remind folks, if you're a basketball fan, Valdosta is hosting four games, the semifinals from Class A on Saturday at 2 o'clock. They'll have the Clinch County Pantherettes versus Marion County, which we discussed earlier. That's at 2. At 4 o'clock, they're having Wilkinson County against Calhoun County boys game. That's a semifinal game. Wilkinson County is the defending state champ. They're the ones that eliminated Clinch County. The next game is Telfair County girls. That's the region champ from the region, Region 2A. They're going to be playing, who are they playing? Calhoun. And so you could have a Telfair Clinch County girls match up again in the state championship.
Yeah, that'd be great. We have three teams from the region in the quarterfinals.
And then Irwin County at 8 boys. O'clock yeah. is going to be playing, and they are playing, is it Marion?
Not even sure.
I have it written down. I'm sorry. but Irwin County will be playing in state or in the semifinals as well. And it costs $15 to get in for these games. But I'm going to go early, go support the Pantherettes, may hang around as long as my family will let me, and have a good time and get my $15 worth. And I encourage, if you're interested in high school basketball, that's a great facility. And they have pretty good food there as well. And you can go out and eat in Valdosta if you need to. So go out and support the Pantherettes or your favorite team on Saturday in Valdosta. That's all we have today this week for the Behind the News podcast. Tune in next week, and we'll have more about what's going on in all of our communities. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lutz Brown Pigler Manley Insurance in Homerville, and also Roberts Milling, the Shack Restaurant and Country Cabin.
Shack Cafe.
I'm sorry. and we appreciate them sponsoring this podcast. If you do, tell them as well and go and do your business with the folks that support your community. We appreciate you listening to the Behind the News podcast. We will see you next week.